Well, yesterday was a big day at Purple Heart Park. For those of you that joined us, we were out there and we were handing out candy, or no, we weren't handing out candy. We were handing out these little bottles that had little crosses on them, and we're handing out pens and everything, telling people about Christ Lutheran Vale Church. And there were a lot of people that came by, and I decided to go, and so I rode my bike to the Purple Heart Park. Now, you have to understand that I live east of here, and Purple Heart Park is west of here, quite a bit distance. And so from my house to Purple Heart Park is 8 miles. And so I show up riding my bicycle, and I park my bicycle, and everybody's looking at me like, wow, this is pretty good. You rode your bike. Did you ride your bike here? And I said, well, yes, it's right there. See? So I parked the bike, and I started handing out candy, and it's really, really windy. So finally, somebody came up to me and said, how come you don't look like you're all winded from riding your bike here? Did you ride your bike here all the way from home? And I said, well, no. I knew it would be busy parking, so I parked up the street at Cottonwood Elementary, and I got the bike out of the car, and I rode here. I'm not dumb. 8 miles. But it was up. You know, they told me, okay, fine, because I led them to believe something other than that. But when they finally pressed me on it, they found out the truth. It was a great, great day, though, but I had one interesting conversation. A gentleman came up to me, and he said, well, how long have you been worshiping? And so I told him, he said, so you're a mission plant. I said, well, I guess you could say we're still a mission plant. He says, well, I'm in a church right now that's a mission plant. I said, oh, tell me about it. And he said, well, we're having a little bit of an argument between me and the pastor. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, we're in the middle of our strategic plan, and we don't know if we should put the word reformed or not in our stuff. And I said, so you're Presbyterian? He goes, yeah, we're Presbyterian, but I don't know if we should have the word reformed or not in our church. And so we're just having a bit of a disagreement about this. And I thought to myself, wow, I can really understand this. Because we had the same discussion about whether or not we should put words in our, you know, in our name and in our documents and all that sort of thing. There's lots of churches, and a lot of them highlight who they are, and others don't highlight who they are. And we had that, and it was a serious discussion. And sometimes serious discussions end up in serious splits. And I pray for this church that they don't split up because of this discussion, because I can't possibly imagine that when Jesus Christ was sitting there on the cross, his last words were, put reformed in the documents. It's not that important. And some of the stuff that we fight over is really little trivial stuff. I remember a story about a young man who actually crash-landed on an island. And it was a long time before the boat finally came and found him from the island. And it turns out the man was very industrious. And he'd built all this incredible stuff with his own hands and his teeth. And he had a house, and he had a home, and he had a greenhouse, and he had food, and he had a well that he dug with his toes. And it was just the most amazing thing. And when the rescuers came to get him, they looked at all this stuff, and they said, this is amazing. And he goes, the most amazing thing is this over here. And he pointed him, and there was the most beautiful church. It was just absolutely stunning. And they said, well, that's beautiful. What is it? And he says, well, that's my church. That's where I worship. And they said, well, what's that building over there? And he said, well, that's the church I used to worship at. I don't worship there anymore. No. So today we are in this last prayer of Jesus, the last section of Jesus' prayer. And you'll remember a couple weeks ago, Jesus prayed for himself and for the glory of God, and then he prayed for his disciples last week. And today, Christ is praying fervently. It's like his last will and testament. And what is it he's praying for? If you look in verse 21, he says, I pray that they may be one. In verse 22, that they may be one. Verse 23, complete unity. Here it is, Jesus on his last day, and he's praying for the church. And what is it he's praying for? Unity among his church. It's a phenomenal thing, because if you look at the world around us, is God's church unified? You'd have to say something like, I'm not so sure. Because if you look at the world statistics, would you believe, how many denominations do you think there are around the world of Christianity? I mean, just take a guess. You don't have to shout it out. I know, think of a number in your head and then double it and then square it and then add 100,000 to it. Okay? There are 38,000 different Christian denominations across the world. And all of them have started because of divisions in the church. And we know the first one happened like at 1000 AD when the church split, and then you had the Eastern Church and the Western Church, and then it was the Reformation, and now it's 38,000 different denominations. Reminds me of a story. I didn't know if this was true or not, because it just seems absolutely implausible. But I looked it up, and I have every reason to believe that this is true. Centerville, Georgia is a small community of Centerville, and it has a population of 5,000 people. Now, just to put that into perspective, Vail has what, about 15 or 20, maybe 15,000 people? So it's smaller than us. And it has a total of 48 Presbyterian churches. They also hold the record for the most number of Presbyterian churches in a small town. The high number of churches has to do with multiple splits that have taken place over the years because of one issue or another. Originally, in 1899, only one Presbyterian church existed, simply known as Centerville Presbyterian Church. Within that church, there was 20 families, and the church was, at that time, the largest in the Centerville area. But by 1911, the church had grown to almost 150 members, a considerably large church at that time, but a dispute had arisen within the congregation over whether or not the offering should be taken before or after the sermon. Thus, the first split took place, with the dissenting congregation forming Centerville Reformed Presbyterian Church. In 1915, a dispute arose among the members of Centerville Reformed Presbyterian Church over the issue of the regulative principle of worship. It seems that some members of CRPC liked the idea of having flowers in the sanctuary, while others objected. As a result, CRPC split, and Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church of Centerville was organized with 25 members. Several more splits took place over various issues between the years 1915 and 1929. It was in 1931 that another dispute arose amongst the members of Seventh Presbyterian Reformed Covenantal Church of Centerville over an issue that no one can seem to remember, nor do any records indicate. Suffice it to say that approximately half the congregation split away, and nine people formed Third Westminster Trinity Covenant Presbyterian Reformed Church of Centerville. Again, more splits took place between 1931 and 1975 when a major split took place within the PCUS denomination over the issue of merging with the more liberal PCUSA. At that time, 11th Westminster Covenant Presbyterian Church of Centerville voted to remain in the PCUS with the merger. 15 members broke apart and formed St. John's Presbyterian Church. 1 week later, St. John's Presbyterian Church split over the choice of a name for the church, as several members objected to using the word saint in the name of a Reformed church. Since 1975, several more splits have happened, with the most recent occurring this past weekend, when a dispute arose among the members of 7th Street First 9th Westminster Covenant Reformed Presbyterian Church over the issue of the observance of the Lord's Day. The issue in question was whether or not it is acceptable for someone to check email on the Sabbath. It's not. And if you don't agree, you can just, no. The issue in question, okay, yeah, I said that. All right. Those who objected have now split off and have formed the Presbyterian, totally reformed covenantal, Westminsterian, Sabbatarian, Regulative, Credo, Communist, Amillennial Presuppositional Church of Centerville. I think we finally got it right now, said Paul Davis, the teaching elder at PTRCWSRCCAPCC. We now have a church with 100% doctrinal unity. PTRCWSRCCAPCC is now hoping to grow and to reach others in the community. We're up to 6 people now. On Sundays, said Davis, I know that numbers are not important, but we're hoping to grow a little bit more. I don't know if that's true, but if you look up on the map of Centerville, Georgia, and type in Presbyterian, 7 churches show up. Isn't that amazing? Christ came to bring unity to the church, and yet it doesn't seem like we're unified, does it? And it points up 2 little things. One is that we do want to be doctrinally pure. We want our theology, we want everything that we believe, teach, and confess to be completely 100% in line with the Bible. We want to be that kind of a people. But on the other hand, we want to be loving and compassionate and caring. And we want to welcome people into our fold. And let me tell you, folks, those 2 things do not necessarily go in hand. So we end up with this kind of a democratic process where 50% says yes and 49% no, and we sit there and we say this is the movement we're going forward, but the 49% grumble about it. or they split and they go and they do their own thing. Now, see, in other countries around the world, you don't come to an agreement until everybody's in agreement. Like in African cultures, believe it or not, the tribal elders will sit together and they will stay there and they will continue to debate it until it is 100% consensus on an issue. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that it could take hundreds of years before they completely come into consensus. They might have to wait for a couple members to die before that happens. And yet, that is the process that happens in some places, and it's a great process. And I sometimes wonder if here in the Christian church, we shouldn't do the same thing, that we should come together and pray until we are in 100% consensus. But you never know how that may go. So we end up like that family reunion where your wife says to you, "We are going to this family reunion, and you will like your brothers and your sisters, and you will shut up about it, and you will go." And sometimes I think that we, the church, are like that, where we just say, "Okay, I'm going to go to church, and I don't have to like everybody, but I'm going to be there because my wife is making me go." Or we're I'm sure you've heard this phrase, we are in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, in all things charity. Are we really unified? Are we really fulfilling the prayer that Christ has asked us to pray? Or are we like First Presbyterian Church of Centerville, Georgia? Now, folks, it's not enough that we just come together at church and worship on Sunday morning and to say that we're unified, or to say that 80% of the people voted in this direction, so that shows that we're a unified church, because let's go back to that scripture and take a close look at verse 22. And if this doesn't just make you scared out of your socks, I don't know what will. Because Jesus said, "Lord, I pray that they may be one as we are one." Now think about that. How unified are Jesus Christ and God the Father? Is it just that they come together on Sunday morning and they tolerate each other? Or is it that they are the same people? That they are completely unified in purpose and in doctrine and in love and in harmony, that they are almost inessentially the same person. And in the case of the Trinity, they are the same person. Are we unified like that? Are we unified where one person in a body of Christ is failing, that we all come across and we hold that person up and say, "I don't want you to fail, because when you fail, I fail. When you're hurting, I'm hurting. When your life isn't going well, my life isn't going well." Is that how unified we are? And sadly, I'd have to say that if you look at the church over the course of 2,000 years, that hasn't been the case. And yet, think about it again. This is a prayer of Jesus. And this is a prayer of Jesus calling us to unity when he knows that we are sinful people, that we are never going to agree about what color toothpaste to have in the bathroom on Sunday morning. How can we agree about anything else? And the answer, of course, is Pentecost, this great celebration that we celebrate today when the Holy Spirit comes into the church of Christ. And what happens? He takes people, the Holy Spirit takes people who speak different languages, different cultures, whatever, and they bring them together as one unified front. Folks, we aren't unified because we think we're unified. We're unified because the Holy Spirit has come into us and has created a unity beyond ourselves. We are unified because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, even though you don't know it, you are unified with every other Christian across the world throughout time. And that is the prayer that Jesus was praying, that we be unified. And it came true on Pentecost Sunday when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and we are now unified people. My prayer is that you be unified as we are unified. There were two churches with the same name about a mile from each other. They split back about 40 years ago over fried chicken. It's true. They were having a picnic on the grounds, and two ladies who didn't care for each other both brought fried chicken. The preacher, it's always his fault, not knowing about this, stopped at one end of the table, picked up the fried chicken, and said, "This is the best fried chicken I've ever had." Big mistake. I've probably done it 100 times. Well, the group number two, who had the chicken that the pastor didn't try to take, picked up and left and started their own congregation. Now, I'm not saying that divisions happen, And I'm not saying that we won't have divisions as a congregation. We're going to have to pray fervently. God, let your Holy Spirit guide us in these things. But folks, we are united because Christ died for us and gave us the Holy Spirit so that we may be united. And in him we are. And that was Jesus' prayer. In his name, amen. My life before you.